see. Friday is the place to be as Big Noon Sports comes to you live from Innisfree right here at the top of the strip. 25 years, best bar in Birmingham. Matt Coulter is here. Lars Anderson is here. Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama broker, is here. Did y'all realize, and I didn't until I started doing my pre-show notes, this is a Friday. It's Innisfree. It's homecoming. It's also the 13th. Are you superstitious, Laura Lee?
Not really.
Me either. You know, I guess that's why I didn't even notice it.
Only when it comes to football, though. I mean, we do sit in the same seats. We have to sit in the same order. And if
the same order, that's great.
Yes, and if Alabama loses, we all leave our shakers. We only take winning shakers. And then my sister and I will wear certain jewelry, and if we lose, that jewelry's out, new jewelry's in.
You don't just leave it there. You take it back home, put it in the box, right?
That's right.
Okay.
So you're not leaving
a bunch of bling in your seats.
I can imagine you actually ripping bling off and throwing it after a loss and leaving it in the stadium.
That would be the shaker.
A shaker. Yeah, that's... She's smart. How about you? You're all superstitious. Does the 13th, Friday the 13th, mean anything to you?
No, because today's my dad's birthday, right?
And that's,
he would have been 85 today. Lost him over two decades ago. He's buried at Arlington National. I was telling you on the way down, it's pretty cool in so many different ways. It's almost like he's come back alive through my kids because he has, my kids have characteristics and mannerisms of my father. And I know he'd be just so proud of all of them. But that being said, no, Friday the 13th, you know, his birthday falls on Friday the 13th quite often. So,
yeah.
No, not scared of it at all. Embrace it. It's a great day. But the weather must match your mood right now, Matt.
Well, I'm not very happy.
It's a little gloomy.
You know, the only thing good about Atlanta, and you know that I have a dear friend, Adam Stocks, runs a bunch of streaming for high school games, and he asks me to do them. And we had one last night, Thursday night, which was kind of rare. But it also gets, you know, I'm off tonight, Arlie.
Wow.
I think I'm going to stay at Innisfree for about 6 hours. Now, we're going to go see our buddy Reagan at R&R after the show. But my point is that they kicked off at 7. First pitch was at 7. I missed it all.
And this is the first game probably in a decade that I watched every single pitch.
So we really can't do that. We got to throw our shakers
away. Here's why the Braves lost the series in a nutshell. This Braves team, by every metric, was the most dangerous offensive team in the regular season. And they end up hitting 186. The Phil's starters had an ERA of 2.18. The bullpen had an ERA of 1.26.
There's your story.
And look, and here we go. Teams can hit their way to the playoffs, right? Bats mean everything in the regular season. But in the postseason, it's most often that pitching is decisive. It's the baseball equivalent of that old golf maxim, drive for show, putt for dough. You got to putt. You got to pitch for dough. Mm-hmm. And the Phillies absolutely had it. And I'm sorry.
Well, I appreciate your sympathy.
But it's pretty cool because I've been along this ride with you for about 2 months now, and you've made me care about baseball again. And hopefully you've made others who listen to our show care about it. But just a heartbreaking way to go for Atlanta last night.
Well, you know, we came in and through the season with a flash, and then we just went down. I mean, it was hard to believe this is a team that set a record or tied a record for home runs in a season at 307. They get into postseason, and they just absolutely go silent. They were outscored by the Phillies 18-6. That hurts, doesn't it, Laura Lee?
It hurts.
They had three hits last night. The story is the Phillies pitching. I'd expected them to be good. I told all of y'all that Nola would be great. He was.
But then there are other starters in their bullpen. What do you say the bullpen's ERA was under two?
Yeah.
That's just...
And that's crazy because their bullpen was just, what, average at best. Yep. Their bullpen average ERA was 1.26.
I don't know who
almost unhittable.
The Phillies pitching coach is, but they just need to go ahead and give him some kind of trophy because what he did over the last 5-6 days has just been amazing. So, anyway, Laura Lee, let's talk homecoming. Now, you are the incoming president of the Red Elephant Club, so you do your responsibilities start now. What are you going to do for homecoming? Are you making a float?
No. I did that in my sorority days.
I'm done
with all that. And, in fact, with the parade being as early as it is.
7 a.m., right?
Yeah, 7 a.m. That's a little early. But we'll be in Bryant-Denny by 9:30, so you know we might catch some of it, but yeah.
So when you were a student here, what homecoming memory sticks out to you?
Losing. We
not
lost
putting together the float. Matt gave us this great description of building a bear when
bear.
He was here, and chicken wire and
all the crepe paper that you stuck in. We stayed up all night on ladders, just stuck and just continuing to stick all that in there. Good. Here we go.
Yeah.
We have fried pickles.
Yay.
Thank you, Maddie.
Yay.
Mustard.
As opposed to last week.
When I was in college, we did all the pomping for the homecoming, outside the sororities. And so that was always a lot of fun because we did it every night that week. And then there was choreography where the dances and everything, which they still do all that. But, that was a lot of fun making the sororities look good with all the signs. But going
y'all
to
did
the games,
really good ones. Fraternity Row was
ones.
A little lame. I mean, they were leaning over and our bear fell. One time, and I guess the statute of limitations is over, somebody from a place behind Fraternity Row called Bryant Hall, somebody got out there and let's just say a big lighter and crepe paper can go in a hurry. It was what as quickly as they burn, they go out. But it's a festive occasion. I'll ask you this, maybe to kind of put you on the spot. Why wasn't the parade moved? A lot of schools are moving the parades and the festivities, particularly on early kickoffs. Of course, you didn't know. Nobody knows until 2 weeks
right. When
kickoff is going to be. So that puts you at a handicap in organizing any event, especially as large as a parade. But do you even know if it was considered?
I don't know if it was considered. But, I mean, where are they going to move it to? You can't move it to after the game because of the traffic.
And do a Friday, 5
Could you
o'clock?
Do a Friday?
Well, they have the pep rally and all that.
Then you move the pep rally to Thursday. I don't know. But 7 o'clock in the morning on homecoming, lots of people in town, lots of people coming to Innisfree. Getting up 6 o'clock is probably not their wish.
Is there a unique homecoming tradition here at Alabama that is just distinctive, again, to the school?
Not that I know of. I mean, it's been
beating
the same.
Somebody's rear.
I know. Except for when I was in school that one year. No, not really. I mean, I think it's all typical in that they do the pep rally and announce the homecoming queen and do all that. Now, we used to do a bonfire, but
they're not necessary anymore.
Yeah.
Especially after Texas A&M. Yes.
Right.
Were you a finalist for Homecoming Queen?
No, I was not. I wasn't even in the running. But
you could have been. I don't know.
We did have Homecoming Queen in my sorority.
So were you the Homecoming Queen in your sorority?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh. You know, believe it or not, we're trying to pay you a compliment.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we are. It's just you're not receiving it the way it was meant to be directed. But, you know, on the other side, I want to talk about what Nick Saban is being compensated to be on the Pat McAfee show.
You got the numbers for us?
I got the numbers.
Let's guess on the other side of the break. Also, Joseph is on hold, a regular caller to Big Noon Sports. We'll take his call and urge you. We've got people filtering in. It's homecoming. You got to eat. You don't have to drink, but you can have a soda, you know, or one of the 42 beers that they've got here. So it's terrific. Great atmosphere on homecoming on Friday the 13th. Drop by and see us. We're in. It's free until 2 o'clock on Big Noon Sports.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky mostly cloudy this afternoon and tonight. Just a small chance of a shower. The high today 68, the low tonight 60. Tomorrow becoming mostly sunny, the high 76. Sunday much cooler, cloudy at times, maybe a few sprinkles, the high 63. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
With Larley Thompson, the Bama broker, Matt Coulter, and Lars Anderson, thanks for dialing us in. Please join us. We are at Innisfree. We'll be till 2, but this is a place to be. Don't have tickets tomorrow. Come watch the game here. Come watch all the games here and just spend your weekend at Innisfree. It's a Friday. It's the place to be, especially on Fridays when we're here until 2 o'clock. Quick note. Your code for this hour's $30,000 is 182. So go to our app at Tide 100.9, just punch in those digits and you're going to be eligible for $30,000. Also, Robbie Glenn just texted us. Prayers are still extended to your mother, but he's reminding me what's happening at 5 o'clock. Alabama's playing baseball against Auburn at the Joe.
It's free. Free admission.
It's Innisfree.
Well, Innisfree, but yes, I was surprised to see that it was free admission.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And you just let a lot of people know.
Well.
So let's pack the Joe.
Roll Tide.
Fill the Joe. Absolutely. And as opposed to what happened last year, that's in the rearview mirror. I have good thoughts about Alabama baseball this year. Meantime, you can dial us up. If you can't make it by Innisfree, you can call 205-342-9904, which is exactly what Joseph has done. How you doing, Joseph?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Terrific.
Well, I'm honestly, I'm a little heartbroken today because my Braves lost last night.
Me too.
And I don't know what to say because, I mean, how do you say the best team in baseball the Phillies are better than? I mean, I don't know what the
right
Braves
now they're
need
not.
To I mean, I don't know what the Braves need to do to get past their struggles. It's like I was talking to somebody today. I think it was Gary, the Gary Harris show. The Braves only won a championship every 20-something years, so I guess the next time we win a championship, it'll be 2046 or something like that. But it's just disappointing. I believe the manager did an awful job this playoff series. First of all,
Joseph, hang on. I got to stop. He won 104 games, so was he a bad manager then? He didn't suddenly just turn into a bad manager. He ran into a buzzsaw, the Philadelphia Phillies.
Well, but he's like, yes, you don't take the best batting lineup in baseball and change it in the playoffs. You don't do that. The Braves had the best batting lineup in baseball, and he all of a sudden just changes it. He decides to change it at the end of the playoffs. Why do that?
You do that to create a pitching matchup that's in your favor. mean, that's what he's. I mean, that's what managers do. But if you think the way they batted, the order they batted, had was part of their problem, barely.
Fundamental truth. Good pitching beats good hitting every day of the week. Philly's pitching staff got hot. I don't necessarily think it was the Braves' bats got cold. Philly's pitching staff just was on a roll. And as you said earlier, Matt, the MVP of that series is the Phillies pitching coach.
Yeah, they interviewed him during game three. It's pretty cool. All right, Joseph, talk some football with me.
Well, I mean, I'm going to say one more thing about baseball. Does anybody be MVP? Because he didn't do nothing that series, hardly nothing. I mean, even when bases loaded, I couldn't ever pop out to the field. How are you the best player in baseball and you pop it out to center, pop it out and get called out when you got bases loaded, a chance to win the game? To me, a best player in baseball, you make that play. You got to make that play.
All right, now let's move to football.
Let's go.
What's your prediction for Saturday?
Alabama's going to win and blow out fast. Alabama, I'm thinking, shoot. It was probably 38-14.
38-4. That's pretty close to what I predicted.
You said 36-17. I said 34-17. Laura Lee, what's your crystal ball reveal to you about what's going to transpire Brian Denny here in, 18 hours, 24 hours, 23 hours? I'm doing the math.
Well, I'm going to go out.
It's not pretty to watch me do the math live.
Yeah, we've already come to that conclusion,
yeah.
Right?
No, I had my Rain Man moment once with Matt about 2 weeks ago.
we were sitting at Bob's in Vestavia, and all of a sudden he just went whap, whap, whap on very difficult
math. It was actually complex math, yes.
Yeah. That's wow.
But that was like a once in a lifetime. Anyway, we digress. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that we're going to score more points than that.
There's your mathematics.
There's your mathematics. But no, I was looking more around 42, 45. I think it depends on their defense, which is pretty good, and some of their injuries and whatnot. And if our offensive line does what they did at Texas A&M, I think their defensive line, I think that's going to be a wash because I think we were all shocked by the offensive line work at Texas A&M. I said they needed to play over their heads, and they did. And actually, it was really what they're capable of doing. But we just hadn't seen it. So if our offensive line allows Jalen to throw the ball more, we would like to see the run, but we haven't seen a lot of that. We just haven't, sadly.
Yeah, so, it would be nice to see Alabama come out and really establish the run and do better than 23 yards, which is what they rushed for last week in College Station, because you're not going to win many more games this year by running for 23 yards. You can't just rely on Burton to have the game of his life and Milroe to hit a couple long balls and a block kick. A lot of good things happened to Alabama in that A&M game, but one thing that wasn't great, Matt, was the rushing offense.
No, 0.9 per carry. Of course, that includes sacks. I always like to note that. But I think that'll change today. The offensive line is getting better and better and better. You know, there were weaknesses earlier in the year. They couldn't protect Milroe. They had difficulties in this game, too, giving up 5 sacks. But I think they're collectively becoming more of a group. And I think if you'll notice, we've made some substitutions up there. Roberts played. That's an injury substitution. But I think they're trying to get some other guys in there to try and find the perfect fit. And I hate to just be kind of blunt about it, but J.C. Latham is a work in progress. He's a marvelous. I mean, you want to talk about a specimen for an offensive lineman.
He's going to be a first-round draft pick.
He will be. But what's the toughest position in all of college football to come in and start?
I want to say left tackle, but I'd still go with quarterback. But left tackle, I think, would be the second hardest.
Well, quarterback.
Especially in the SEC, because the defensive linemen in the SEC are a different level.
And you know why? Because you got Braswell and you got Dallas Turner, and you're trying to fight those guys off.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, our linebackers are obviously, our linebackers are DBs. I mean, when you look back, I don't think anybody can deny that the turning point last week was when Caleb Downs caught the interception and turned it back around. But you're looking at our DBs, but our linebackers are all over the place. We have great depth there, and I think Arkansas is going to have a lot of trouble with that, and so that's why I think the line has gone up higher, and last I saw it was like 24 or something.
Oh,
I
know.
I don't know.
I hadn't looked this morning, but that's what I heard, and I was like, well.
We're operating under, 16.5 yesterday?
Well, I thought it was 17, 17 and a half, and then I heard 24. I'm like, 24 was the injuries?
I'll look it up in the break.
Or whoever I heard it from made it up. But having said that, that's why I was saying I think I'm going to go up a little bit higher, and it's probably just being hopeful because I want to see a score in the 40s and not the 30s. But I think Arkansas is going to have a harder time getting into the end zone.
Even with KJ Jefferson, and he is a threat every play, but I think Alabama's going to have him covered, and normally that's a quarterback that Alabama's been known to have some difficulties with. However, I want to go back to
as of two hours ago, by the way, the standard line in Vegas was Alabama favored by 19.5. Okay. So it has gone up a little bit. It's gone up a little bit from yesterday when we were doing our picks with Reagan.
You mentioned Caleb Downs, talking first-round draft picks. And I know 6-7 games in the season, that's kind of like calling a shot. But he has been the most impressive first-year player in Crimson this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we talked about this yesterday. Caleb Downs, if it gets to the point where Alabama is in the SEC championship game and facing Georgia, who do you want going against Brock Bowers? You want Caleb Downs going against Brock Bowers. And I think, and we will get into this a lot more if it unfolds the way we think it's going to unfold. We'll analyze the potential of the Alabama-Georgia matchup to death. But just at first blush and looking at it, I think Alabama matches up really well against Georgia, just based on style of play, where the strengths of Georgia are, where the deficiencies are. It matches up well with where Alabama's strengths are and Alabama where they're not as strong.
And Carson Beck's just getting better and better.
So is Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, exactly.
You're exactly right.
And so I think it's going to be interesting to see. One of the things that I thought about is when you look at KJ Jefferson, he's built a lot like Jalen Milroe. They are very similar quarterbacks. Well, who's our defense defending is Milroe.
In practice.
And so I think that's going to help them a lot this weekend.
More fried pickles. All right, we have our entree here, our hors d'oeuvre. We'll order up later, get a burger or a wrap. But I want to invite you, we will be here until 2 o'clock for Homecoming Friday at the Free. It's the place to be. Drop by and see Lars, myself, Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama broker. We're bringing you big news sports. Kip Tyner is in the house. The second most, what is he? He's now president of the council. Means you can do a lot of good things, and he has. I'm going to make him sit down here in a minute. You're listening to Big Noon Sports.
Hey, Bama.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
All right, come enjoy.
the atmosphere, and then some, as we broadcast live from Innisfree on a Friday. Myself, Matt Coulter, Lars Anderson. Oh, my.
Look at that.
Look at that big brownie with that.
What is this, a brownie sundae?
Wow. Laura Lee.
No, it's
Thompson,
not for me. It's my husband.
You better eat that. Bama broker. Lars Anderson is here, and my dear friend of 40-plus years.
Wow.
do you like hearing that?
Man, yes. You know, because it means we're still alive.
Yeah. And you're still very active, and I try to be. So
yeah.
Maybe it's just a tribute to whatever was in the water there over on 15th Street.
There was something.
Isn't it cool that we're now on TVC again?
I absolutely love that. I started to call in when I heard it, and I couldn't get in. I was going to say, you know, that made me smile. You know, it felt like home.
And you can go home again.
In
radio, to a certain extent. So.
Absolutely.
Well, what's going on in the city of Tuscaloosa?
Well, you know, this is an amazing weekend with homecoming and Kentuck Festival. So it's hard to get a hotel room. I heard you talking about the parade earlier. I did something on Facebook that no one's ever done before, I believe. I got over 400 comments on what I thought they should do. Only one person disagreed with me.
Oh, no way.
Out of 400.
What it was.
All right, well, what was your plan?
I said have the parade on Friday night at 6 o'clock.
Yep.
The parade goes right into the pep rally and the bonfire. And because, you know, the bonfire's set up, they're ready. And so you just... The merchants would love it. You have a nighttime parade. You come down your regular route, go right into the quad, and then you have your pep rally and bonfire. You'll have more people for both. 7 a.m. is, I think it's ridiculous. 5 a.m. lineup. Imagine you've got children. That's 3 a.m. You got to get up. They got a potty. How many times before they get in their little baton uniforms?
Potty. Potty. You are so old school.
No, I'm trying to be good on the radio.
You have been for 40 plus years. So no worries there.
But they didn't ask me, you know. And so now, I mean, I just think it's a bad decision. 7 a.m., you know, I believe that the crowds will definitely not be as they usually have. But the 5 a.m. lineup Saturday morning, that's tough.
We're talking to Kip Tyner, the president of the Tuscaloosa City Council. And we've talked to Walt Maddox about this a couple times, but from your perspective, what are the number one or two issues that the city confronts on game day? Obviously safety's number one, but just talk about that and also just other logistical aspects.
Well, it is, first of all, it's incredible to be able to have University of Alabama in your city, but the hardship it puts on our police department, our firemen, our paramedics, all of our street departments, too, because, you know, by Sunday morning, everything will be completely clean. You know, they're amazing, doing an amazing job. But it's really tough on our police. They don't like the 11 a.m. starts at all because they have high school football.
Oh, yeah.
And then they've got to go right into the parade now earlier, and then the game day. And, you know, if they
have the police, is it basically all hands on deck?
Everybody's
working on game day?
Everybody, and pretty much the entire fire department, too, with all the paramedics. And
do you get help from surrounding communities?
Yes, absolutely. Northport comes in, Brookwood, Vance, UA, of course, and state troopers. So it takes more than just our TPD, but they do the lion's share of all the traffic, you know, which is pretty major.
Yeah.
No
so
kid.
Do you know, if you're coming from Birmingham, can you give us a secret way?
I sure can. You come right through Alberta, baby.
You know, right through your district. That's it. Hey, now, how many different restaurants do you recommend they stop?
Everyone that's open. They're ready for you.
And you're going to be working each one glad in, right?
That's right. Well, I tell you, especially this time next year, because you guys, Lars, you and Matt, have been so great to promote Tiger Woods Pop Stroke. And their permits have been issued now. They're finally, all their plans have been approved. The permits have been issued, and by this time next year, you know, we're going to have a major, you know, the pop stroke, of course, will bring even more people through University Boulevard. But I will tell you,
it is groundbreaking for them.
Well, they're still saying by the end of the year.
Okay.
I still feel like it's going to be right after the first of the year, to be honest, because of the weather.
You know, how about the golf course? I mean, are they still planning on building an 18 hole?
Two. Yeah.
When does it? Do you foresee the groundbreaking?
They say they can drop it in. Reminds me of WKRP, like the turkeys.
Yeah. God is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly.
Remember that episode?
I've watched every episode.
That was
you.
So
and by the way, you in no way were even close to being less nasty.
Thank you. No, what a compliment. I don't know. You know, that's the only part
for
of the show.
Love of God.
I did not like. No, I was the opposite of less nasty.
Johnny Fever's greatest line was, hey, let's get back to music and Les Nessman.
But, you know, the Tiger folks said they can basically drop it in and have the course completed in 3 months.
Yep.
So for our listeners in Tuscaloosa, can you just explain what we're talking about? Just give the big picture view of this of the Tiger Woods.
Yeah, well, the pop stroke right now, if you're familiar with the Hampton Inn and the Baumhauers, right on in the Magnet School, right on McFarland Boulevard, they're well underway. The construction is really starting to take shape. It will be in a 2 18-hole, basically putt-putt golf on steroids. It's from age 3 to 100, and they'll have a restaurant, beer garden, children's playground area, as well as Tiger. I don't know if it's his brand, but they have a homemade ice cream parlor. But I'm excited about the restaurant and the beer garden, you know, but the golf is going to be amazing. You got one for the kids. I think it's like 12 and under. Then you got the adults on one. So that's a pretty smart move, too, because you know, you got the little kids, and they're going to take their time.
Well, the frat boy's going to go out there and just take this course over and play serious putt-putt. And that course can hold it.
It's endless. The possibilities you think of fun, because you've spoken with the Tiger people, and they said they want to not only, they didn't just choose Tuscaloosa to have a successful pop stroke and make money, but they chose it. They want to be a very integral part of the community in every way, sponsorships and things such as this.
And Tuscaloosa was one of the first communities that they targeted.
First college town. Came down between us and Texas A&M, and I believe Justin Thomas and then Coach Sewell at UA Golf was the reason why.
JT, I didn't know that. JT is really close with Tiger.
Very close.
I think
that's what put us over A&M.
Larley, did you have a question?
You
live here.
Well, yes.
What are you brokering today?
Well, you know, here's the thing that we adults want to know. When you mentioned the restaurant, and this is what I was going to ask you, is, you know, every time we get a new, quote, restaurant, it's a hamburger joint or a chicken joint. We want restaurants.
That's what this is.
So what type is it going to be?
Well, you know, I think they you can easily Google it and get a menu from their many different places, but I believe it targets where they are. Like they're in Glendale, Arizona, Chicago, Houston, Fort Lauderdale. So Jupiter is their headquarters. But this thing, what I've been told, and actually Mark Cobb from Tuscaloosa News did more study than I did about the menu, but it's a very nice sit-down restaurant. And also has the balconies outside that you can dine outdoors as well. I'm really excited about it because it's not a chain, it's Tiger's chain. So, but it is a sit down restaurant. It is no more chicken. And they may have chicken tenders, but it's not a chicken tender place or a burger joint.
Excellent.
I love this. This is Matt. This is democracy at work. This is a constituent talking to her representative.
Well, what we're missing is the background and the cigars and the bourbon.
Well, yeah,
I guess we can do that later.
I wanted to ask you, what has been the most difficult interaction you've had with a constituent? Somebody who lives in your district, Kip.
Wow. Well, besides being threatened.
Not many.
Well, threatened. Well,
how can anybody threaten Kip Tyner?
Isn't that the truth? That's what I told her. Why are you threatening me?
with your batting average of 399 out of 400, I wouldn't think many people challenged you.
I was shocked at that, and I still want to call her name out. But I won't do it. I did get followed home after I opposed a body piercing establishment right in the University Boulevard in Alberta, and I opposed it, and it didn't happen. But, you know, I thought the first thing you come back from a tornado and you see a body piercing place is not exactly inviting for other.
Well, actually, how many do you have?
How many body piercings do I have?
Just kidding.
Well, I could show you, but...
Really? What a dumb question.
That's from years of knowing each other. Yeah. Because otherwise, you know what...
I feel like there's a lot here, Laura Lee, that we are not
really... Yeah, but I just buried us both. I'm so sorry.
Let's move back past that. And one of the things, let's talk about real estate, in that one of the things we realtors, and we're seeing it more and more, is college students moving out into that area and what that could do for your district.
Well, I tell you what, I'm different than most of government officials. I love students. And I have some in my area who, we don't want any more students. Well, you want the restaurants, don't you? And you want this and you want that. So you've got students with expendable income. So if you want these restaurants to come out here, you better embrace the students. We've got a significant number. But another reason it's universities moving our way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we got not only the Tiger Woods, we got two golf courses universities building right now, which is they're moving on a fast track, and that will be for their men's and women's team. We've got an $11 million tennis expansion right now that's going out for bids next week, which will bring some of the best junior tennis players across the country. So all of that is really leading to some major changes and announcements coming to the Alberta area.
I want to ask you one more before we let you go.
We're 1 mile from campus.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And excuse my geographic ignorance here, but the ESPN Resort, is that in Northport? Is that in Tuscaloosa?
It's in Tuscaloosa.
Well, that's big time.
Big time. And let me tell you, what's so interesting, I had actually met with them a couple of years ago because they were actually looking at the spot where Tiger Woods ended up taking.
Okay.
How great is that they didn't? Because now we got the pop stroke there, and it's basically Rice Mine Road. It's in the 35406 City of Tuscaloosa area. I think it's fantastic. It's unbelievable.
It's right across the street from the campus.
Yes, SI, whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's it. Whoa, did I just bury your magazine?
Yes, you did.
Sorry. It is,
I don't work
it
anymore.
It is Sports Illustrated.
It doesn't resemble
if it was ESPN, they'd be having layoffs.
Yeah, well, that land's already cleared. That's the area. So have they said, like, how long they're looking at?
I think a year.
Before
they actually open.
Okay, so a year from now it could be open.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Can you stick around for a couple of
resort?
Can you stick around or do you need to go?
I'll as long as you need me.
What a guy. What a politician.
It's not right. Even election year.
There's no wonder that you and Walt Maddox are best friends.
I've got a meeting with him at 2:30.
We should get him down here and ask him about this parade. Oh, you've already spoken on that.
Yeah.
All right. We are live at Innisfree. It is Friday the 13th. No superstitions here. Just lots of really good food, good people. I always like to tell those that are listening to the show and come by here how great the servers are. They really take care of us, too. So you're listening to Big Noon Sports.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, we'll do our SEC Parlay Pick Contest presented by Brian Harden Construction. We'll feature Rodney Orr. We'll feature Lee Sterling. We'll feature Brent Beard. All starting at 2 o'clock here on The Game on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky mostly cloudy this afternoon and tonight, just a small chance of a shower. The high today 68, the low tonight 60. Tomorrow becoming mostly sunny, the high 76. Sunday much cooler, cloudy at times, maybe a few sprinkles, the high 63. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
More Big Noon Sports coming up.
Matt, Laura Lee, our special guest is Kip Tyner, City Council President for Tuscaloosa. We are live at Innisfree, and we need to drop by all weekend, really. Watch the games tonight, watch the games tomorrow. It's not in your district. I'm sorry, Kip.
It's close.
But it's Tuscaloosa.
The new arena will be in my district when they ever build it.
Update. Where are we?
Well, I heard at least it passed. Some part of it passed the board, UA trustees' agenda at their August meeting. So the problem I've got with it, and they don't listen to me either, like the parade, don't make it like Auburn. I mean, you know, we do not – look, I love 15,000. You got Kentucky, you got Tennessee, you got Arkansas expanding there.
You got
arenas.
Nate Oates, I think.
Yes, and you're going to drop it to 10,000 or less. I think that's a huge mistake. And I'm a forever season ticket holder. In fact, I've got to pick mine up today.
For now.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see how much they went up? I mean, our tickets doubled.
It's unbelievable.
Doubled?
Doubled from last year.
That
they
tells
doubled.
Me they are going to build a 10,000 seat arena.
Well,
they're going to do that to your tickets.
See, that's not, and that is so unfair. You're outpricing people to come. You're outpricing the kids. And, you know, because I can remember just so well when, you know, Mercer, whoever they're playing, you know, that they'd give it, you know, 100 tickets out to Boys and Girls Club, the Barnes Branch, you know, the underprivileged, lower economic areas. And that's over with. That's not going to be done anymore. And I think that's very important. And growing up as a kid here, my dad, you know, gosh, we lived at Foster Auditorium, and I remember the first time, the first game against Samford in the Coleman Memorial Coliseum then. But I cannot see why you would reduce seats. And when you try, you're obviously growing the sport, and you're going to make it 10,000?
Well, what Greg Byrne said in one of our meetings was that they looked at the attendance of the last year and looked at those numbers, and that was more of an average attendance. But the challenge is that you have a lot of people who buy these tickets for points and then they don't come. Now, having said that, the price of these tickets and these club level seats is so astronomical.
Yep.
That you're pushing out a lot of people that would come otherwise.
How much can you tell us? I mean, are you?
I haven't gotten the price on mine today. I'm going to get them after this afternoon. I'm not in the Tide Pride group. I'm from me to you in the Tide Pride group, and And mine are so much, so mine were like half of their, of what the net just next to me was paying.
I know what the cost is, and I don't know that I can say it out loud on air, but it's a lot.
They're probably like football were 5 years ago. Can you comment? All right, let's not press that issue.
I can tell
I don't know what mine will
it
be.
It will cost me more money for two tickets in the new Coliseum than it does for my high-level football tickets.
I think that gives us all an idea.
You know what? This is worthy of a deeper dive discussion.
I want to see guys out there in Tuscaloosa.
The middle class fan is
getting
squeezed out.
And that used to be the main group you pitched.
Yeah.
And now taking your son and your daughter is just going to, you have to take out a second mortgage.
Drop
can you help me with that?
Right?
No.
Well, you are.
I know you can't.
Haley Sansing.
I'm thinking of Sarah Patterson. Sarah, of course, we all know what she did with gymnastics. And she told me once, she used to be a regular on my show, and we'd give away, tickets. She told me, you're basically all local audience, but because of we probably grew 1,000 seats or 1,000 attendance a year because of what we were able to do on your show. Well, those people for basketball too, they're not gonna be able to afford it now, or even I don't know about gymnastics, but those local folks who will fill those seats in for the midweek games and the mid-level games and the ones that nobody, the Alabama State and whatever, they're not going to pay that kind of money to go to those games. You're going to have to bring Gonzaga to Tuscaloosa and quit doing the Birmingham and Huntsville games, because people need big-name teams to Tuscaloosa if you're going to pay that kind of price.
I never really thought about them taking on that to Huntsville, because I imagine the season tickets are applicable to whatever other arena you go to.
No.
They're not?
No.
They're not.
So if you buy season tickets and they play, and I like the fact that they play in my hometown, Huntsville, and particularly where I live now, Birmingham.
Yeah.
No.
Nope, it's extra.
So what do they do? They just open up the arena to all new seats? All new buyers?
Well, no. They give you the opportunity to purchase them, but they are not in They're not in your package.
So that's why I went to the Oregon game when I forget how much it was, but it was anyway. I just hate it because I have, to reduce it, you can't grow the sport. And it reminds me of these beautiful new high schools across the river. Northridge High School, it's growing leaps and bounds, but they already built, as soon as they built the school, they were building portables.
Oh, that just doesn't sound like really good management. All right, let's hold this discussion here. All that being said, you, more than anybody else, will know. How much does the University of Alabama do for Tuscaloosa?
Oh, my goodness.
They're another city in terms of population. Is it 38,000 now?
Yeah,
it's about right.
Yeah.
That's a lot of income to Tuscaloosa.
I don't agree with a lot of the things the University of Alabama does, but that's good. That's fine. And
you are a graduate, by the way.
And they don't agree with a lot of things that I say either. One example was the tickets to selling alcohol. We wanted to get $1 or $2 or $3 a ticket by
city.
The city for alcohol sales. I thought that was fair because University of Alabama pays zero for our overtime, for our police and our fire.
Yeah.
So we wanted to, if they were going to sell alcohol, what's $3 on your
ticket?
You
were united with Walt in that, right?
Very much
united with and that's the only time I can remember sort of Greg Byrne and the city of Tuscaloosa at loggerheads.
Yes.
And how was that resolved?
Well, it was, but
not to your liking.
No. Because what they did was, I forget, there's something to do with the sales tax increase that we'll get from the alcohol. And also they gave partial scholarships to some of our police department's children. But You know, my whole thing, we desperately need to get on the state pension fund with our police and our firemen. And this was an amazing way to do that. And the University of Alabama could said, look, we contributed greatly to the police and fire's pension, but they didn't see it that way. And you know, and there were some really hurt feelings and bad things said. Because one thing was said from the university official was that, well, we could do the games without Tuscaloosa Police Department. And I'm going, that's what really set us on, because
I don't know about that.
What a dumb statement. Yeah. I'd like to see them try one weekend without our TPD.
Hey, we got to get to the top of the hour.
You go.
You've got to deliver all your lunches and you got a meeting with the mayor.
But this has been great. Thank you for, you're sponsoring this, don't you?
Yeah,
and I love it. I listen every Friday, and thank you, Laura, for that. And I will certainly send as many people as I can your way.
Thank you.
Bama Broker.
Yeah, Broker. And Matt, love you, buddy.
Yeah, I love you, too.
Lars, it's so great to see you. Absolutely.
See you.
And I will tell the mayor hello in about an hour.
Please
and
do. Tell him come by and see us. He did one Friday.
I will.
And he's wide open. We'll even buy him lunch.
Yeah.
We'll make our contribution.
As long as it's under $25.
I know. I've got a friend of mine.
He did tell us that he can pardon misdemeanors. So, got that going for us.
Lars, you're not a misdemeanor guy.
No, sorry. I'm all or nothing, baby.
I'm just kidding. Thank you, Kip. We're at Innisfree. Join us on Big Noon Sports.
Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll-tied as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
It's the Tide 100.9 30K Workday Payday.
Woo!
Win cash every weekday 8 to 5. Here's this hour's cash code.
584. Again, that's 584. The code is 584.
Enter that code now on the Tide 100.9 app. Click on the 30K payday button and enter the code for a chance to win $30,000.
This is the Big Noon Sports Network.
Yeah, hear the crowd, Bama fans.
I'd even be a few Wu-Pig Sueys
in the audience. Arkansas coming over from, yeah, that's right. I was born and lived the first couple of years of my life in Fayetteville. Oh, there's Kim just said he's been a year there. Cancer treatment. Bless you.
10 years ago, they let me go.
Good.
Oh, nice.
Glad to hear that. We're at Innisfree, where we are every Friday of the football season. We're getting ready for homecoming. Heck, homecoming is here. So drop by and have a beer and grab the menu and pick something, because I promise you, you'll be able to find something.
Matt, I have a question that I want to ask both you and Laura Lee, and it's a journalism question, and I really want both of your perspectives on this. So according to a New York Post story that just came out, Pat McAfee and his show, The Pat McAfee Show, is absolutely blowing up. According to this report, and McAfee has not denied this, that his two biggest guests, Nick Saban and Aaron Rodgers, are both receiving money for their weekly appearances on the program. and it seems to suggest that they each are getting about $1 million a year. $1 million a year. And McAfee addressed this yesterday, and this came out in a New York Post story by Andrew Markan, who I think does a really good job covering the media. But Andrew wrote that McAfee is media savvy. So McAfee signed an $85 million deal with ESPN. And what he's doing is he's taking money that he is being paid to pay people to help his business, right? And so when McAfee addressed this yesterday on his show, he essentially said that, look, our company went from being valued from anywhere from $2 million to $5 million a few years ago to now it's $500 million. And he said, I'm not saying that just to flex, but I'm like, you know, I want to help the people that have helped me. So, therefore, I am going to compensate Aaron Rodgers, who used to come on for free, right? Aaron's been coming on the McAfee show for a while. And now getting Nick Saban to come on again for in the neighborhood of $1 million a year. So the old school journalists are up in arms about this because the sort of number one thing you don't do as a reporter is pay for interviews. However, we're in a whole new world of journalism. So I'll start with you, Matt. Do you have a problem with it?
Yeah.
And then Laura Lee, do you have an issue with it as someone who is, receiving this content? Do you want to know that both Nick Saban is being compensated for his time to the tune of $1 million a year for, 15 minutes a week, and then Aaron Rodgers also. So, Matt, you go first.
Well, it sets a horrible precedent for our business, you know? If it starts here, and I realize that ESPN and these two individuals are at the highest platform you can be, I understand their value, but how far does it trickle down? I mean, I'm probably being very extreme here, but, you know, people are going to start asking for money every time you put them on the air.
Well, yeah, and that's the other issue. Like, you know, what if, say I'm still working at Sports Illustrated, or I'm just freelancing a big piece and I need 15 minutes of Nick Saban's time?
Okay, that'll be $100,000.
I can't do that. Right? So, I mean, eventually, and this is where we're going with NIL.
Yeah.
And people paying for interviews.
They are.
There's people in Birmingham who are paying for interviews. That we can't afford that on our shoestring budget.
What they do is they get trade from another business, and that's but they get paid.
Yeah.
They are compensated.
Yes.
And it's becoming more and more commonplace, and I think that if you're an old school, you're a journalist, you don't like it. And
this is really
troubling.
I'm
not going to do it.
I mean, it's really troubling to me.
Yeah, I mean,
good.
I'm glad it is. Laura Lee, what do you think? Because you are a viewer.
You're the consumer
and you're the consumer of it. You're on the other side. You're on the TV side watching it.
Right. Well,
is it worth it?
I think it may have something to do with agents, because I know with the Red Elephant Club, like, we want to get Greg McElroy. We can't afford him. And he's like, you know, I'm sorry.
You can afford me.
Yeah.
I've spoken a couple times.
And then his agent. And so if they're demanding that, then, you know, shouldn't they be compensated? I mean, if a player's compensated, shouldn't the GOAT, Nick Saban, and Aaron Rodgers, for that much, be compensated for their time? I think it's that double-edged sword that we're seeing in NIL, and now somebody has done it in the media with these interviews, and it could be going to it being more common, which, as a consumer, I don't necessarily want to see that, but I also want to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, and the thing is, Nick Saban, when he's on the show, he's so forthright. But I wonder, if he feels pressure to sort of
deliver.
To deliver a great performance based on the amount he's being compensated.
The answer to that is hell no.
No.
I know.
But I understand the point of your question.
Is the interview compromised? Is the integrity of the interview compromised by the fact that he's being compensated?
That's a great point, and you could view it that way, but we know Saban. And he's not going to do that.
And Aaron Rodgers, by the way,
you pay a million dollars a year, the guy's rehabbing?
Yeah.
He's still a hot button, though.
Yeah. But I'm talking really in the abstract. Like, is the integrity of the interview compromised when you're being compensated for the interview?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Y'all are journalists, so you come from a different perspective than I do, but also know Coach Saban, and I've heard him speak so many times, and what I see on TV is not any different than what I've seen him just even in at the country club. I mean,
would you pay to see him speak?
Well, I do at Nick at Noon.
Well, I guess you do in some ways. For your contribution to the university, and he speaks to certain groups like yours, then I guess indirectly you are paying for it.
What did you think of Nick Saban's lecture that he gave in the media room at
nothing? The importance of nothing. Did you have you heard it?
Oh
yet?
Yeah, I've heard it. Listen, I listen to everything he has to say because he always has a great message.
Hey, we got to take a break. When we come back, we've got Steve Irvine, and he's talking football. He's talking homecoming. I'm not going to ask him about the Atlanta Braves. I'm still in mourning. You're listening to Big Noon Sports live from Innisfree. It's the Friday place to be, even if it is the 13th. Now, especially because it's the 13th.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky mostly cloudy this afternoon and tonight, just a small chance of a shower. The high today 68, the low tonight 60. Tomorrow becoming mostly sunny, the high 76. Sunday much cooler, cloudy at times, maybe a few sprinkles, the high 63. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 69 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside. This is Big Noon Sports.
You can hear the Bama fans homecoming. Rolling some Tide. Pigs coming into town. Early kickoff, 11 o'clock. So you might as well start celebrating right now, 1 o'clock at 1:15. Because we've got the beers are flowing, sandwiches are amazing. Well, I'm going to get one of those Reubens at Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama broker, suggests. So I'm going to get that. But we're going to bring on our next guest. First of all, your code this hour is 584. 584 is the code. Go to our app at Tide 100.9 and punch in those three digits, and you got a shot at winning $30K. Our next guest is Steve Irvine, and he is with the UAB Collective Group. And I'll let you give us the name again. Steve, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
Good. I've been reading some of your stuff online. How do others?
Well, it's at MagicCityImpact.com, and we've gone basically behind a paywall for most of our stuff. There's some stuff you can read for free, but the money goes toward the collective for the UAB athletes, and there's a on there you can show you how you subscribe. But we're about 5 weeks old now, I guess, or maybe 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks, and I've really had a good time doing it. And I would welcome Anybody come read us?
Yeah, I see links to it all the time on Facebook, and I imagine it's on other platforms as well. Lars and Laura Lee and I were talking about something. We'll pass the question along to you about Pat McAfee now paying Nick Saban equivalent somewhere around $1 million, and Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure, is in the same neighborhood. From a journalist standpoint, paying for interviews, where does Steve Irvine's side on this?
Well, I mean, certainly the old school the old school in me doesn't, you know, it cringes when I hear that. Maybe starts crying a little bit when I hear that. But, I mean, I think it is what, that's what we become, you know. And I hate it. You know, I hate that part of it. I hate that we have become, you know, have come to there. But, you know, I mean, to me, it just kind of is what the business is now. And which is unfortunate because it's changed the way we, certainly the way we cover sports these days is different than when you know, when I was young in the business and yourself and just, you know, I mean, and Lars. I mean, it's changed a lot, but I'm not a huge fan of it, but I understand it.
Steve, before we get your opinion of Alabama, Arkansas, and because I know you obviously pay attention to what's going on in this state and not just UAB, I want to focus on UAB. UAB essentially at the midway point of their schedule. They started out the season with a victory over North Carolina AT&T and then lost four games in a row. And then last week came out and had a really nice performance against South Florida, beating them 56-35, which prompted me to ask Matt if we can use a transitive property and say that is UAB better than Alabama? Because
algebra
doesn't work that way, right? I thought it did work.
Yeah. If A equals B equals C, A equals C.
Right.
That doesn't apply to college football.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah. I thought it did.
Yeah. Okay. You follow me here, Steve?
But really, what I want to know, just your assessment of UAB pretty much at the halfway point and also the job that Trent Dilfer has done.
Well, you know, honestly, you can kind of see the growth. You can see him growing. You can see him taking steps. And yeah, it didn't come as quick as a lot of people wanted. You know, you take out the Louisiana game, which they just didn't play well that night, and you take out that, and you can really see growth. You saw growth against Georgia, even though they lost convincingly. You know, you certainly saw growth against Tulane in a game that they really should have won. And then you come to last Saturday, and they put it all together. And the great thing to me the thing that I thought was best about Saturday of where they are right now and Saturday's win over USF is there was times where they didn't really play that well. I mean, they got a lot of big plays, and the big plays, you know, they took advantage of and ended up, you know, running away because of the big plays, but consistency wasn't great in that game. I mean, there was times where they really left stuff on the field, and they just did things that weren't consistently where they need to be, which to me is the best scenario for a team, because you win big and you do enough to win big, but yet you can turn on that film and go, hey, now wait a minute, look at this, look at that. You know, we got to do this better, we got to do that better. And it keeps, you know, it kind of keeps them grounded a little bit, I think. And so I think they still got a ways to go, but they've taken a lot of steps. And, you know, I really kind of enjoyed watching Trent Dilfer through this season, because, you know, it's his first year in college football, and you can see him growing on his job. I mean, you can see it, and it's kind of refreshing a little bit, is he's never hesitated to say, hey, I haven't, you know, this is my first time, and I haven't done this, I haven't done that, and I'm learning too, and you can kind of see him learning, and you can see his staff learning. And you know, I think these next two games for them, if, you know, they go to UTSA tomorrow for a huge game, and then they come back and play the Battle for the Bones against Memphis, which is, you know, was traditionally one of their biggest rivals. And, you know, if they can find a way to win those two games, I mean, it's, they've got a chance to really make a lot of noise toward the end of the season with their growth. But, you know, obviously it starts with tomorrow, but we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Well, so as a new coach to college football, And you mentioned that you saw him, Trent Dilford, he's growing and his staff is growing. How do you think his players, you know, you talk about coaches that are players' coaches. And would you consider him a player's coach?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I think that he's absolutely a player's coach. I mean, I think that's what he's all about, you know, the players. And that's not to say, you know, sometimes we think we kind of look at it, you know, somebody called a player's coach, and you sort of think like, okay, well, he's easy on the players. He lets them get away with stuff, all that kind of stuff. It's not like that at all. I mean, he's tough on them now. He's very, very tough on them. But he's very good to him, and he's very, you know, it's all, every decision he makes is about what's best for the player, you know, in his mind. And so I think he's absolutely a player's coach. I think it's, I think part of what sort of the adjustment among the players, especially the returning players. Now, they've got a lot of new players. They got 50-something new players, overall, you know, on the roster. And so they've got a lot of new players. But I think the ones, the returning ones, it's been an adjustment for them because he coaches different than the last staff, you know, and the last staff that, you know, and that, then the returners loved that last staff so much that it was kind of a, you know, a little feeling out process, a little bit, you know, a little bit of like, well, you're going to have to prove it to me type thing. And I think he certainly has with those guys. And I think that's where you've seen a lot of the growth. A lot of the returning guys, that they really counted on struggled a little bit early in the season. They struggled a little bit, and you kind of looked at them like, what's going on? But I think as they become more and more accustomed to him during the season, you know, during the actual season and not the off-season stuff, I think they've started to play better, and I think that's been part of why they've really grown.
Steve Irvine from Magic City Input.com is our guest. Steve, I'm going to steer back to the Southeastern Conference and what's going to happen tomorrow in Baton Rouge. I don't know how many of these games you covered, but I know you're aware. This game is the craziest, wackiest rivalry in the Southeastern Conference, and it's not always because what happens on the field. You remember a couple of years ago when the barn started on fire?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, come on now. I mean, in Baton Rouge and Auburn, it's been crazy. But you know, that can't surprise you that crazy things happen in Baton Rouge. You know, I mean, or Auburn, really. I mean, Auburn's always been a kind of a, you never know what's going to happen there either. But you know, and I think we'll see the same thing on Saturday, because I still don't get a really good feel on either team about exactly who they are. You know, I think it's almost like, each week you look at them and think, okay, I've got them figured out now. And, you know, then you don't, you know, and I mean, honestly, the LSU Missouri game last week, I'm watching the early part of that. I had to, you know, I was heading to the UAB game, but I got to see the early part. And I leave that game thinking, okay, well, you know, Missouri's going to win this game, you know, cause I really thought they were outplaying them early. And then, you know, by the time I got to protective, I think, you know, LSU had, you know, was ahead. And so, you know, I don't know. And Auburn certainly can't figure out week to week, you know. Are they the team that, you know, that played so well against Georgia or not? I don't know. But it'll be a wacky game, and it'll be fun to watch. I can guarantee you it'll be fun to watch.
You remember just a couple of years, it was more than that, my, how time flies. But remember when Damon Duvall, the Auburn kicker, got in a fight with two band members in the end zone?
Yeah. Well, now, come on. That I kind of understand. I I'm not a fighter, but if I was, I think I would have gotten some fight with some LSU people over the years, too, as obnoxious as they are. So I sort of understand that one.
Never walk out of Death Valley with any type of Alabama gear on if you've beat them, which has been the norm rather than the exception over the years. Then, of course, there was the 1987 game, which I could go on and on and on about because Greg Spruce and I were there for the earthquake game. Never experienced anything like that in my life.
I can't imagine. And, you know, Kevin Skarbinski got a brick thrown through his window parked outside of, you know, and I think I have this story right. I think it was a rental car. But he rented it in Alabama because he didn't want to take his own car there with his Alabama tag, and ended up getting a brick thrown through his window during the game. So, you know, nobody's safe there, that's for sure.
Crazy. All right. Steve, can you hang through? Let's ask.
Yeah,
let's
absolutely.
Talk about Alabama and Arkansas. Okay.
Sounds,
Steve Irvine from MagicCityInput.com is our guest. We are live at NS Free. Come by, have a burger and a beer with us as we get ready for homecoming weekend at Capstone.
For championships.
Throws intercepted Alabama.
Built by Bama.
Alabama is still Alabama.
The Crimson Tide play here. Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Arkansas in an SEC showdown. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football.
Brought to you by Birmingham Racecourse. BirminghamRacecourse.com. You can be a winner too.
Sports Talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
It is Big Noon Sports, live from Innisfree, the Friday place to be. Come by and see us. It's homecoming weekend, whether you're a Little Pig fan or a Crimson Tide fan. We got a table and a cold beer waiting on you. I want to remind all of you, and I may try and talk Lars into doing a little of this. I don't know. We got things to do on the road, but Bama baseball plays this afternoon at 5 o'clock at the Joe, and their opponent is Auburn. And what did you tell me earlier about the tickets, Laura Lee?
Admission is free. Free.
See, we were talking about basketball tickets. Now, they're making baseball free.
Well, it is today.
Just today.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's the Auburn game, so, I mean, that's going to be
that's
fun.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
it's cool. Great.
It's homecoming. That's really, of all the things that are going on, that's the perfect fit.
Well,
Lars, Steve, before we – sorry, go ahead, Laura.
I was going to say, if you're going to talk baseball, you have to talk softball.
What's going on there? I may not know.
The girls are playing a doubleheader against Wallace State on Sunday.
Thank you.
Those tickets are $5.
Gee.
How do you know all of this?
She's a red
I'm
elephant.
I'm the Bama broker.
You're the Bama broker.
I'm wow. The Bama broker.
The Bama broker offers you all this information.
Who is the women's softball team playing in 29 days? And how much are tickets?
$5.
You know, that's why I took that name is because people who know me know I bleed crimson. I know all about anything Alabama sports.
And Alabama real
sure
estate.
Do. Well,
and
real
we'll
estate
talk too. About that in a second. But, okay, Steve, I want to get back to you. The most fascinating game in the country this weekend to me is Washington, seventh ranked Washington Huskies hosting in Seattle the Oregon Ducks in a major Pac-12 showdown. Washington's 5-0. Oregon is 5-0. Washington's Michael Penix Jr., their quarterback, has just played amazing. Bo Nix, also right there in the Heisman conversation. I think right now they're both in the top three with Caleb Williams at USC. And it's my belief whoever plays better and wins this game really has the inside track to winning the Heisman Trophy. So not only is there a seat at the table for the national or for the college football playoffs on the line here, but there's also, I think, the Heisman Trophy is on the line. How do you see this game?
Well, I totally agree. It's a great game. I totally agree about the Heisman thing there. I think that one thing that people in this part of the country don't understand is just how big this rivalry is, you know, and it's not, you know, not just this year. I mean, this is a big rivalry, man. These two teams are, you know, really in some years and in some eras, sometimes, it's probably bigger than their regular traditional rival, you know, bigger than Oregon State, bigger than Washington State, Washington, you know, really. And I think that's kind of what it is right now. I think, you know, that's a tough place to play. I like Washington. You know, I like where they're playing defensively. I like, you know, I just think that's going to be tough, you know, a tough task for a really good Oregon team. So I think if I were to pick it, I would probably pick Washington because, you know, simply because of home field advantage. And I've been there when Washington was rolling. You know, I've been there when there was, I was covered a game one year there when they won the Rose Bowl, one of the Rose Bowl seasons. And, man, that's a tough place to play. You know, you got that. First off, you get kind of caught up in how beautiful it is, and you start, you know, almost like you're sightseeing a little bit. And then, you know, you got that, got the wind coming off the lake there, and you know, it's going to be chilly.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask you about, and that overhanging aluminum roof, which just causes the noise to vibrate back down onto the field. And it, I don't know if you've taken in a game from the sidelines there. I have, and it is absolutely discombobulating. It is so loud. How big of a home field advantage is this for Washington?
Well, I think it's huge. I mean, I think it's huge. And you know, especially with they're at right now, because I think there were several years that you know, Washington was down, especially compared to what they were, you know, back, you know, in the day, back in the probably what, late 90s, you know, early 2000s maybe. And, so I think that it's a fan base that's really hungry for these most recent times. They've had a few good years and, you know, recently. And so I think it's even going to be, you know, like I say, when you just described, I mean, I've watched the end of games that from the sidelines, and one of them was close. And so it was still really loud. So I think that home field advantage is worth, you know, I don't know, worth 7 or 10 points or whatever it may be, if Oregon doesn't handle it right, you know, which you know, honestly, and you know this real well, is honestly you don't really have a whole lot of situations where you go in the Pac-12 and have, you know, really bad home field advantage for the other team. You know, one of the two stadiums that you have that at, well, you know, one of them is Oregon. You know, so Oregon, you know, they when teams come into there, it's tough, but when they go on the road, you know, yeah, in the rivalry game, and Oregon State's a tough place to play when they get a lot of people in there. But, you know, really other than that, you don't get a whole lot of situations where you have to worry too much about the crowd being a factor like you will tomorrow.
Quick follow. Do you think the fact that Bo Nix has played in the SEC, he's played in these really loud environments, makes him uniquely equipped to play there on Sunday? And also just your reflection on the – did I say Patrick Nix again? Bo Nix. Just the journey of Bo Nix, and I certainly am one of I think a lot of people in the state of Alabama that will be cheering for the Ducks tomorrow and for Bo Nix.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's a great point you make about him playing in SEC stadiums and in that noise. I mean, I think he's equipped for that, but I think he's equipped for that just in his temperament too. I mean, I think it's just, you know, he's been around it so long and, you know, I think he just has that temperament, whether he played in SEC or not, but that certainly helps. And, you know, I think that what I really liked about Bo Nix, about his story is, you know, there was so much pressure for him at Auburn there, and you know, with his dad, and you know, all that situation. And I just think it's wonderful that he, you know, he decided to not only go somewhere else, but just say, you know, I'm going across country. I mean, he went about as far as you can go, and it's about as different places you can go from where he, you know, where he grew up and where he's going, you know, at Auburn, and has really thrived. And I think it's really neat. I mean, I think it's really, that whole story's neat. And yeah, I would love to see Oregon, you know, keep winning, you know, because I've always kind of liked their program and liked the way they do things, and you know, they're fun to watch, and you know, so I would like to see. I'm probably rooting for them tomorrow.
Laura Lee, you did not like that question I asked. She about fell out of her chair. I think we just lost our sponsor here because I am supporting Bo Nix.
Well, he went to the other schools.
He's not at the other school anymore.
I don't know.
Yeah. Franchoni.
I mean, still, that's why I was like, half the state.
So Bo Nix is tainted? Is that what you're saying?
I believe that's exactly what I'm saying.
Let me clear something up for you, Lars. She's not riding solo here. There are, and most of them are Alabama fans. They don't want anybody that steps foot at Auburn, wears orange, wears blue. They don't want any success.
Not even
if it's Oregon.
And when a very famous hamburger joint sponsored him with their tea. I have not had one drop of it since then.
Of course.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know.
Don't you just love football in the South? That's the best.
Well, it's particularly in this state, because you want to talk about taking things to extreme. So,
well, would there be this a product? State? I think the epicenter of this state is Laura Lee. Yeah.
There you go.
Perfect. Is there a, what is your favorite ice cream? Are you an ice cream person?
I love ice cream.
Okay. What if Bo Nix had sponsored your favorite ice cream? You would not eat it anymore?
I'm done. Done.
Wow.
Wow.
Like I said, I haven't had one drop of that very good tea since then.
Wow.
It just runs deep. I don't apologize for it.
I see it all the time. But and I've got a couple of buddies that won't pull for Auburn against anyone. And I say, if Auburn wins a game and it benefits Alabama, aren't you going to pull for Auburn? No.
I do.
When you when it benefits Alabama? Well, thank you.
Only when it benefits Alabama. And I'm not, like, super pulling for them. But
you're not all in?
I'm not against them.
So if they lose and it doesn't help Alabama, you're still okay with it?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, will you drink Milo's tea during that game?
I didn't say their name.
There's a potential sponsor on the line here, Steve. Let's play close to the vest.
Okay.
Hey, Steve, have a great weekend and continued success with you and Tim Stevens' effort with MagicCityInput.com. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate you guys. Have a good weekend.
All
right. Thanks, bud.
Something's going to take place tomorrow during the Alabama game, and according to James Spann, you might not even notice it. But it's kind of a major phenomenon. We'll talk about it on the other side of this break. We're live at Innisfree on Big Noon Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky mostly cloudy this afternoon and tonight. Just a small chance of a shower. The high today 68, the low tonight 60. Tomorrow becoming mostly sunny, the high 76. Sunday much cooler, cloudy at times, maybe a few sprinkles, the high 63. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the plains. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sport.
I'm realizing how many I didn't hear when he was alive that are fabulous. A lot of people, Johnny Cash fan. We play that because it'll be a ring of fire at 12:08 tomorrow during the Alabama game. And that is a partial. It's a partial eclipse of the sun. That's a line from another song, isn't it? Or it's the total eclipse.
Total eclipse.
Total eclipse of the heart.
Yeah, I'm getting it all mixed up. Anyway, there's an eclipse tomorrow, and I was reading about James Spann said about it, and he said really not going to be that noticeable because, you know, you have to cover the sun totally. Half the sun still lights the earth like a full sun. So, anyway, I'm trying to play meteorologist and I'm not succeeding.
So the solar eclipse tomorrow will first touch down in the U.S., as they say, in Oregon at 9:13 Pacific time. So that is 11:30 our time here. And then the partial eclipse stage will hit the U.S. West Coast at 11:03, so that would be 1:03. So we'll see. Yeah.
It's not anything.
But it is a it is, like you said, it's a ring of fire solar eclipse.
The ring of fire. How was that? Pretty bad. Laura, are you jacked up about the eclipse, or are you just moving right along?
I'll be in the middle of a football game,
yeah, you will.
So I won't be paying attention to it.
And we all know what you won't be drinking. all right, let's go to the phones as we wrap up this edition at Innisfree, the place to be on Friday and any other day for that matter. Let's go to Leon, who's dialed 205-342-9904. Leon.
Wow, that's a solar eclipse right there.
Leon, plans you made put an end to me. I'm just going to do
just a reminder.
Lyrics here.
Never look directly at the sun during a solar eclipse. Bad, bad idea. Instead, use solar eclipse glasses or a pinhole camera, like we made when we were in second grade.
You know, here's the deal. There's a propensity to look at the sun when the eclipse happens. You're not supposed to look at the sun directly anytime. I mean, does it take the eclipse to make people aware of that?
As a kid, though, didn't you look at the sun once?
Yeah, and
realize
it was
a bad idea.
Colors, and it was, I remember exactly. I was riding in the back of the car.
And it was right after my mom told me, don't look at the sun.
I'm feeling weird.
Look at the sun. Ah.
It'll burn your retina. The ring of fire.
All right, Laura Lee, how do you see this game unfolding tomorrow? Your assessment, your vision of how it's going to go.
Well, I think our defense is going to continue to step up, and I think they're going to cause a lot of trouble for KJ Jefferson. Arkansas's offensive line has been abysmal, and they have been actually worse than Alabama's offensive line, which are stepped up. So if our defense keeps playing the way they've been playing, and then our offense, our offensive line plays the way that they played against A&M, I think you're going to see a much higher scoring game on the Alabama side. I don't see Arkansas. I don't think we'll keep them out of the end zone, although we could, because I think that KJ Jefferson may drag a few people into the end zone.
Yeah, he'll make a play.
Yeah.
Or three.
Yeah, so.
I think we can guarantee that. Lars, I would like to see Alabama. You know, we've been talking about this murder ball. I'd like to see that happen again in true form. And here's the one thing. I know y'all would agree with this that we've observed. They said it on national TV. Alabama used to be, we get the ball, first time of the game, 7 points. I mean, how many times did Bryce lead us to first possession touchdowns? I think it was like 10 out of 12 games or something last year. It's a phenomenal number. But I'd love to see Alabama come out there and mash and dash and smash and score. Make it 7-0 early and then just kind of keep Arkansas at arm's length.
Yeah, I think the main thing that I'll be looking at is Alabama's offensive line. Can they create running lanes for the Alabama running backs? Can Alabama get that running game going? That is going to be so important moving forward. Everybody always says, and it's cliche, what's a quarterback's best friend? A good running game. Put yourself in positions to succeed. Second and five, third and two, very manageable. You need the running game to get going. 23 yards like last week absolutely will not cut it moving forward. And you look at Arkansas, what they have done this year. They're on a four-game losing streak, but, you know, they played BYU close, lost 38-31 at home, went on the road to play LSU. They outplayed LSU and ended up losing 34-31. Then went on the road and played A&M on September 30th, lost 34-22, played them tight. And then last week at Oxford, man, is this right? They've been on the road three straight weeks. But I guess that Arlington game at Texas A&M, maybe neutral site. Actually, no, it's not a neutral site. Strike that. That is three. They're going to be on the road four straight weeks.
That's not
a tough schedule.
Yeah.
That's a tough schedule. And last week they played Ole Miss and lost 27-20 again. Played good.
Yep.
So this team.
Had to lead late.
I'm just telling you, this team is dangerous.
Yep.
And they have talent at quarterback. I think KJ Jefferson is special. Laura Lee, your point about him being a similar player to Jalen Milroe and the fact that Alabama's been going against that in practice, I think is a very good one. But like I said earlier, I like Alabama 34-17. I don't think Alabama covers the 19.5 point spread.
I think we do, don't we?
Win
our scores?
I do.
36. Actually, I don't.
Wait, doesn't Alabama win like by 100 every time for you guys?
What is that now? When we pick them?
When have you not picked Alabama this year?
I picked Alabama every year. No, wait a minute. I might have.
I need my notes. Picks.
I need my notes. I don't pick against the spread except on this show, and I'm not really sure. I think I picked Alabama. I'm one of those people that even if we're an underdog, I'm probably going to pick us anyway.
Yeah, I'm the only one who picked. I'm picking Arkansas, but Alabama's going to win. Last week, let's see, we all had Bama covering over A&M.
Look at you and your notepad.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually very organized, and this is very surprising. And the week before that, Bama at Mississippi State. We all had Bama. Week before that, Ole Miss at Bama. Let's see, Matt, you had Bama. Lars had Bama, and Reagan had Bama. So I guess I shouldn't be saying anything. Week three, Bama at South Florida. Guess who took South Florida? Yours truly, Matt, took Bama. Minus 33.
Yeah, work out so well. Alabama
all right,
won.
Let's see here. Does it really matter? I mean, does anybody care other than you and me? And the fact that I am absolutely drilling you, winning. I'm 18-6.
Hey,
you're 14-10.
Let me see your wallet. Larley, I want to know as we roll out here from Ennis Free. I don't know if you express your thoughts on it, but do you think Bo Nix is going to beat Washington?
How's the housing market in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, really, that's an important question. How's business?
Business is pretty good. I mean, it's slowed down a lot, but people are still buying and selling.
So they still need you. How do they get in touch with you, Laura Lee, Bama Broker?
At the Bama Broker. My social media is at the Bama Broker. You can call me at Advantage Realty Group, or you can call me on my cell at 205-790-7229.
Awesome. What do you say we gather and do this again next week? What'd you order, Lars? Chicken wrap?
Yeah, chicken Caesar wrap.
Chicken Caesar.
I like it so much,
wrap.
I don't order one, I order two.
Well, I have to warn y'all guys that my Tennessee brethren are coming in. So there will be Vols fans in the house.
Bring them here.
And
bring them to R&R.
You know, yeah. They're big-time Vols fans, that graduates. They'll be here.
That'll
Thank
be fun.
You, Laura Lee. Appreciate your hosting the show with us and sponsoring it as well. And thanks to Audio Bob.
Soon we'll be replacing us, clearly.
Oh, yeah. Have you already auditioned for partners? Hell, you don't need a partner. Hey, have a great weekend. Roll Tide.
Hey, Bama fans.